I want to look at something which I think we tend to take a pride in. And like so many good qualities, what we are sure that we've got in hand, what we think of as one of the points we can check off as having right, can also be a danger. We can be so relaxed about something as to make a mistake and be overconfident about it. In this particular church, in this particular location, we are delighted with the food that we enjoy after the services, the buffets that month after month are such a pleasure. Well, I want to talk about the subject of hospitality. As Mr. Edmonds, who gave the opening prayer, who travels up with us, has mentioned oftentimes, he learnt on coming into the church. The Church of God, as much as any of Napoleon's armies, marches on its stomach. So, hospitality, we are enjoined, encouraged, instructed to be hospitable people. It is even a standard by which the ministers are judged. It is one of the attributes they must have. We, who are also training to be teachers and priests, obviously should be hospitable people. We take a pride in the food that we are able to share. But do we overlook some of the minor things? Hospitality might be needed in a way that does not involve vintage wine, gourmet food. It may just need empathy, sympathy, a quiet place to rest, a glass of water, and a kind word. We think of hospitality as how much we can push the boat out, how we can make a display of what we have, even to the point that we hesitate to invite someone back if we do not have the highest standard of victuals available. And this could be a terrible mistake. Someone who comes from a background who could afford the very best restaurant, if they are in a strange place, may be grateful of just a quiet place to sit and to talk. We, as I mentioned about our accents, think we are the norm. But some people coming to our area think we are interesting, remarkably enough, and they may just like to visit with us. And that is included in hospitality as well. Do we sometimes hesitate because our house, the standard of our home, may not be what some people with a much higher level of income are used to? Does that mean we reject them? Or on the other side, would we ignore someone whose clothes were a little shabby? We know the example set by Mr. Armstrong of wearing the best we can afford. But remember, the best we can afford may be very different for somebody else. Someone who is doing the best they can with what they have, are we judging them by what our first reaction is? We had somebody from abroad come and stay at our house, not a church member, nothing to do with the church. He was a foreign student. It was a source of income to us. And he was very casually dressed. And all of my children, who were the two or three that were still at home at that time, all remarked, "Did you see his clothes?" And I thought, well, yeah, he's smartly, casually dressed. "Did you see how much they cost?" "Well, no, I don't buy that sort of clothes. I didn't know it cost £500 to wear those things." You could have bought a very good suit for the money he was wearing for his casual clothes. The sort of thing you could wear to bed. It wouldn't make a lot of difference. They're so casual. But my children noticed how much they were worth. Yet that poor bloke had to live with us for a year. He seemed to survive quite well. It was not the standard he was accustomed to, but he did survive. And he seemed pleased to have our company at times. Being an Arab, of course, he was Iranian, wouldn't he? From an Arab state. But let's remember that we should show hospitality. Remember the warning in James chapter 2. James is concerned about an attitude that we have from the world in which we live, this Western society, where people are judged, in this country perhaps by class, but more and more by how much you earn. And it's warning us here, let's start in it's about respect of persons. James 2, verse 2 of chapter 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in veil raiment, or not well dressed. I assume it wasn't stinking, but not well dressed, poorly clad, threadbare possibly. And you have respect to him who wears, we avoid this word now in the King James Version, gay clothing, expensive clothing. The word when I was a child, gay, was very positive. It meant bright, colourful, happy. Somebody comes in wearing expensive clothing and says, and you say unto him, sit you here in a good place. And say to the poor man, the man who's not well clad, stand you here, or sit here by my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Do we judge people by what they wear? Obviously, first impressions are important. If someone comes in here week after week, where it makes no effort to improve themselves, can't be bothered to wash, then I don't think I'd have to say anything. I think Mr. Bowles would have had a word long before. We wouldn't dare push our luck that far. If we are able to present ourselves in such a fashion, we should not be casual in our appearance, but we shouldn't judge people on first meeting solely on how they are dressed. I have a manual job. Many, many years ago, I asked the client of the house in which I was working, would they mind if I changed? I had an appointment after work, and it would save me a lot of time from going home. And they said, no, that's fine, you can wash up and change here. Living with them was the father, sort of old school type, very smartly dressed. He never noticed me around the place. I was a workman. And as I came out from their bathroom, having changed into a suit to go to an evening meeting, I virtually bumped into the gentleman, the father of the house, the elderly grandfather-aged man. I'm a grandfather now. Well, should have found a different word for that. A man of mature years who was worthy of my respect. What a whippersnapper of a mere 30. Many, many years ago. And he stopped in surprise. This strange person was in his daughter and son-in-law's house. And he stopped and said, oh, hello. And then he recognized me, realized I was just the workman. He relaxed, sort of that fast. Every day thereafter, I was greeted courteously. His assessment of me changed because I could brush up fairly well. Let's beware. Someone may get here to a service and be rather careworn. Don't judge them just on their clothes. Give them a chance. If God is working in their lives, don't be a stumbling block to them. Be hospitable to them. Christ talks about something which... don't normally think about hospitality. We think about hospitality as entertaining. But consider this. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 40, 42, particularly verse 42. Matthew chapter 10, 42. Talking about receiving people in, who are doing God's work. And in verse 42, whomsoever shall give a drink onto one of these little ones, one of these people who's come in God's name, working, serving God, give these ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple. Verily, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We're not talking about vintage wine here. We're not talking about one of my favourite malt whiskies that cost ludicrous amounts of money in our tax-ridden country. We're talking about a glass of cold water. That just involves a little bit of effort. Walking into the kitchen, running the tap for a few seconds to make sure the unpleasant taste of our plumbing system in this country is disposed of, or pulling a bottle of water out of the fridge, pouring a glass, almost inconsequential in what it involves our effort, negligible cost. But if we have concern for someone who we meet in the service of God and they need a glass of water, they may be, in the time in the near future, in chains. They may be prisoners for their beliefs. It may be difficult to give them a glass of water because it will identify us as having sympathy for someone who is despised by the rest of society. That glass of water may be very expensive for our standing in a community that is totally alien and against God's way. Don't just think of hospitality as serving fine wine, gourmet food. It goes on from here. It's not just a fine meal. It met after a fast. Who amongst us doesn't appreciate a glass of water and a bowl of soup? A nice, thin chicken soup. If we are hungry enough, that is wonderful. In the concentration camps, people would fight and even kill for a potato to eat raw. Have you ever tried eating raw potato? I never got very far with it. I find it horrible. I love potatoes, but I don't like raw ones. Continuing that thought, Christ speaking in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 34. Seeing how much time we've got, I'd like to cover verses 34 right through to 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation, or from the throwing down of the world. I think Mr. Bowles explained to us once that Satan turned the world upside down and then it had to be restarted, recreation. So this kingdom that we are looking forward to inheriting, this plan that has been in place for so many thousands of years, this is what we're looking forward to. Christ speaking, For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. How do we judge who we give hospitality to? Do we judge them on how well dressed they are before we invite them to our home? Do we check they've got a nice bottle of wine in their luggage before we let them in and offer them to share our food? Yes, sometimes I do. I must overcome this. Naked, and you clothed me. Are we prepared to share what we have when it comes to sharing some clothes with people? After an emergency, after a catastrophe, would we be prepared to help like this? We live in a society which is cold and callous. You hesitate to stop if there's an accident on the road, a traffic accident. It may be a set up job. You may be at risk. But we could put a call through for emergency services. Most of us carry mobile phones nowadays. We may have to be circumspect in how we show compassion, but we should show it, not just turn away. Be wary. Each one, if a lady travelling alone sees something, it may not be expedient for her to stop. But some thug like me, there's very little I should worry about. Naked you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. That's difficult for me. I hate hospitals. I personally loathe hospitals. I find it very, very difficult to visit the sick. Something which I have to work at. If I was ill, everyone would know about that. If I have a cold, everyone does know about that. But I should also have the compassion for other people who are sick and put the effort in. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now that is one that is really difficult. I used to be a policeman. I put people in prison. I had to visit them to make sure they weren't hanging themselves or trying to break out. But to actually voluntarily visit someone in prison. But if one of our brothers or sisters are in prison, we should be making the effort to visit them if it's within our means to do so. Not being ashamed. If they are faithfully striving to follow God's way and circumstances have put them in there, But again, it depends on the circumstances. We have to judge those very carefully. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? When saw you as a stranger and took you in, naked, clothed you? Whenever did we do that? When have we met Jesus Christ? When you saw you a stranger and took you in. 39, verse 39. Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king, this is Jesus Christ speaking, of course, shall answer and say unto them, Truly, or verily in my translation, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Do we think to serve the least? What a challenge it would be for me to choose people to entertain at the feast who could not repay the hospitality. I do very well at feasts. I really do terribly, terribly well at feasts. I take people out to dinner and they repay me ridiculously well. What a shame. I obviously don't choose the right people to entertain. I take a pride, perhaps the wrong sort of pride, in entertaining. We need to look at what we think are our strengths. It may be our weakness. Selecting carefully fine wines, having a top malt whiskey in the cupboard, maybe is the wrong priority. It's our attitude of service. It's our ability to see the people who desperately need the hospitality. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you have a fine wine, that you serve water, but under certain circumstances, someone may be desperate for a glass of water. They may be desperate for a bowl of soup. Don't hesitate to invite them to your home because you do not have the highest quality of food available. They may just need the comfort of your fellowship. They may be grateful to have the time and your time, your effort, your kindness, to be reminded that wherever they are in the world, they are part of the family of God, are looked upon as brothers and sisters in Christ's church. Don't neglect to share the best that you have, but don't neglect when you don't have the best. Just share what you have.